broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker. This is the Freedom Fiends are, in case you don't know, did you know this? We are the heavily gated sound of the most popular show in the Tri-Yard area. I'm trying
most
that
heavily
on.
Gated sound? What? Now, huh? I missed something.
Oh, I have a gate on the compressor. So when we're not talking, it goes to completely dead. There's no background noise.
Oh, I thought I'd stepped into like some sort of a gated community. Like there were certain community standards that I had to abide by in order to be
that,
on the show.
That too. And I make the rules up as I go along. Yeah. Bill Buport, for some reason, like he's great. He's like the best talker I know. But like every show, for some reason, I just have to nitpick and write him letters and say, and Derek J too. And they're usually on together. And I'm like, that's the best show I've ever heard of the Fiends, guys, even without me. You know, but by the way, I think you shouldn't have blah, 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 blah. I'm a micromanaging control freak. And my name is Michael Dean. Hi, Michael. Woo. I have 30 days clean of micromanaging. No, I don't. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. And on the other end of the inner tubes, we have Mr. Davi Barker, the shiny badger. Hello. Are you safe? Have you been contacted by the government?
I actually have been contacted by the government. I was contacted by the Department of Motor Vehicles, which told me that my license to identify myself has expired and it's time for me to renew it.
Yeah, I got one of those for my concealed carry permit recently. Basically, they wanted $40 to retain my rights. And we have Ms. M.K. Lourdes. How are you, Ms. M.K. Lourdes?
I'm doing great.
Do you go by Ms. or Mrs.?
Mrs. is fine.
Okay,
I'm
Mrs.
married, so it's technically the right.
Okay. Yeah, I think Ms. is something they invented in the 70s. It's like it's short for Miss Mademoiselle, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, basically, it means unmarried. It means none woman. Of your,
no, but Ms. can be married or unmarried, right?
Yeah, that's the idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Mr. It's like, it's basically none of your business, is what that means. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because Misters get to go around pretending to be single no matter what.
So, Davi, we were talking before the show about Digital Millennium Copyright Act takedowns and self defense lawsuits. I'm just going to play this ad. I made this ad tonight, and people are probably wondering what I'm talking about. And here you go. This is going to make a lot of ANCAPs hate me, but I'll hit you with this.
Yeah! Yeah!
Do you believe in free speech? Jay Raven had her True Shives YouTube channel taken down. We believe this censorship was wrong, and we believe the channel is a clear example of free speech. Many people are bullied on the internet, but Jay Raven actually stood up to the bullying. She has filed a self-defense lawsuit against the individuals who took down the channel. The outcome of this suit could be very important to the future of free speech. Learn more at trueshibes.com. That's Tango, Romeo, Uniform, Sierra, Hotel, India, Bravo, Echo, Sierra.com. Trueshibes.com.
Yeah.
Worms.
And I played that for you and I said something about, I don't know, like, do you have a problem with me playing that? I guess you didn't know that it says we believe, which kind of sounds like the Fiends believe. But what's your opinion on self-defense lawsuits?
Molyneux pulled out the gun. It's not her fault that she wrestled it from him.
Pulled out another one. Yeah. Yeah, you said something though, kind of like I believe they exist or something like what like I believe copyright exists or something like that. Where were you going with that?
No, we were talking about the concept of a political deist.
Ah,
and I said a political deist believes that the government existed, but that it doesn't intervene or shouldn't.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of I went to an Episcopal boarding school called the Church Farm School when I was in high school, and I took sex ed from a priest at an all-boys school. That was kind of interesting.
It sounds traumatic to me.
No, it wasn't. He was one of those hip, like, rap with me, relate with me kind of priests. You know, the Jesus is just all right with me. Jesus is just all right. That kind of guy. Kind of like, you ever see The Simpsons where Marge becomes the listen lady for the church?
I have not seen that.
I don't know.
Yeah, basically,
I don't know what a listen lady is. I'm from the wrong culture, I think.
Okay. Well, she basically becomes like the priest, Reverend, or the Reverend Lovejoy has kind of, he hasn't lost his faith, but he's lost his like zest for his job. And
his zeal.
Yeah, and like people always call him with their problems like people do with their priest or their, you know, religious figure, person, hotline to God. And he just doesn't care. He doesn't want to answer. And it's basically because when it has a flashback where it says it was the 70s, I was just out of seminary school, and it shows him like driving into Springfield in a convertible with long hair and his priest collar on, with his reverend collar on, with an electric guitar in the back seat of his car, like blasting "Jesus Is Just All Right with Me." And he wanted,
you know, I got my first guitar lessons from a priest.
There you go. Yeah. Well, the church has always been musical, but they used to own the music, and they used to actually outlaw certain kinds of music, and they used to outlaw tritones. They called them the devil's triad. And that interval is kind of the basis of all metal music. It's in every good metal song, probably because it sounds evil and nasty, but they show him like wanting to be one of those young, hip, rap with me, relate with me priests that, you know, can talk to the Utes of today. And then, like, he loses his zeal for that because of Flanders. Like, Flanders just wears him down.
Wears him out.
Yeah, with all his problems. You know, like, I think I'm coveting my own wife. What should I do? You know, with, like, ridiculous questions. And so he just gives up on it and just kind of becomes a placeholder in the church. And Marge is in there one day talking to him, and his phone rings, and it's Flanders, and he's like, "You take it," and hands it to Marge, and she like helps whoever's on the other line and becomes the helpful listen lady. But so he's one of those priests, and I remember he would be like in sex ed, he'd be like, "Okay, if you have questions, write them down, put them in this hat, I'll answer them. You can be anonymous, you know."
Yeah, we did that.
Yeah, it was a good way to do
it. That was a science class, though.
Science class. If you want to ask an embarrassing science, how do you make meth in C4?
Well, no, I mean, it was a sex ed class.
But science.
That was their way. You know, they said that it was so that you could ask questions anonymously, but I was fairly convinced it was so that the teacher could make sure there was actually a question.
As opposed to what?
As opposed to nobody asking any questions, nobody putting anything in the box. And so the teacher sort of made things up and put them in the box herself.
I could see the benefit of that, I guess. I went to public school for sex ed, and when it got to the questions part, no one wanted to raise their hand at all. It was like, no questions. Yeah. So
I remember one time I wrote on a piece of paper and put it in the listen lady's hat, in the priest's hat, "Do you believe in premarital sex?" And he was answering questions. He pulled it out. He said, "Do you believe in premarital sex?" "Well, I believe it exists." And see, that's what I'm getting at, is kind of the difference between people who don't like the government and think it's completely ridiculous, but know it exists, like us, and people who really just kind of act like it doesn't exist. Like, have you ever met that? Like, anarchists, anarcho-capitalists who, if you like, you know, like, they'll yell at you for having a driver's license, you know, but they live with their mothers, so they don't even drive yet. That kind of people.
Well, I mean, I guess I strive to live like it doesn't exist. I sort of consider that what freedom feels like. And there's a philosophical sense in which I think that it doesn't exist. Like in the government versus state dichotomy that Ben Stone talks about. But it does exist. There are people with guns who will come and get me if I don't fill out this form and send it back to them.
Right. I think it's useful to have a freedom-oriented mindset, and I think it really starts kind of internally in your mind. But yes, you do have to realize that they exist and they will come kidnap you under certain circumstances. So you have to be realistic with things. And kind of in this DMCA situation, he wasn't answering any of the accusations. He wasn't answering any of these things. He was going on the Joe Rogan show to basically, in front of millions of people, to basically lie about True Shibes and this channel and why it was reported. And that, you know, that's character assassination. That's problematic. You know?
Yeah.
And you know, in anarcho-capistan, whatever you want to call it, that's still a problem. You know, people talk about, oh, we can just shun people, but what
that
about these
work.
People who aren't going to
it
answer?
It didn't work,
yeah,
man.
It
didn't
work at all. He just ignored the accusations. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, what are you left to do? And he did, you know, he pulled the gun in the room first. So,
yeah, if people don't know what we're talking about, there's a so-called libertarian alleged philosopher named Stefan Molyneux who makes videos on YouTube, and someone named True Shibes or someone named Jay Raven actually made a channel called True Shibes, and basically just in a fair use kind of way criticized his videos by taking a chunk from one and a chunk from another one or even the same one. that contradicted the other part, or just taking parts that showed the most ridiculous things he says, like, you know, if you teach your children Christianity, you're committing child abuse, or if you're, we've heard him say, women, something to the effect of like, women are the are just socialists with panties, whole bunch of things like that. And
I think it was feminists socialists with panties.
There it is.
Yeah, feminism is socialism with panties, and then estrogen-based parasites. There you go. Is other
yeah, that's
really
what
good
women are.
I like that. I like that the woman knew exactly what he said, and I was just kind of paraphrasing from memory. Like, yeah, that stood out. I remembered that.
It's not every day you're called an estrogen-based parasite.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And so Molyneux's right-hand man, who sits at his throne, Mike DeMarco, issued a DMCA takedown, which is basically saying this is a copyright infringement, and got her whole YouTube channel erased. And it actually wasn't, you know, it was, and then they admitted on this other show that it wasn't really a copyright issue when they were just using that technique, which is actually committing perjury, because when you do as DMCA, you have to do it under penalty of perjury. And there's a whole bunch of muckety-muckety going on with it. And he's being sued. You know, a lot of people get bullied. Like the ad says, a lot of people get bullied on the internet. Most people don't do anything about it. It's really rare that someone takes it to court, because it costs a lot of money, and it takes a lot of time, and you have to be devoted to it for months or years. So
it's kind of an open and shut case, though. I mean, like, he's essentially admitted to everything that he's being accused of. So,
yeah. But that,
I don't know.
That doesn't mean that it's going to go to court. The judge is going to read it, smack his gavel, and rule in her favor. That's not how court works. You know, when people say open and shut case, there's a lot of armchair lawyering by people who don't know anything about the law going on with this. And I know that Davi knows more about the law than a lot of those people who don't. But yeah, calling someone open and shut case is... Who knows, man?
I get that it's figured.
It's crystal ball time, but yeah. But there are attorneys who think that some of it has traction, like Kinsella.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach, and donate most of our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is, and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Fiends. So we were petting cats during the break. Is that what you kids are calling it? No, I was really petting cats.
I'm still petting a cat.
It is it's National Cat Day, and yesterday was Davi's birthday, but we're gonna go back to that later, because somehow I'm like, have we really gotten sucked into the Molyneux talk again and this soon, Davi?
Yeah, it's a gravitational pull. We constantly accelerate at a constant rate toward Molyneux.
There's got to be a formula for that. I try not to. You know, I have said like 8 times, I'm done talking about this guy. And then he does something or something happens that I can't not talk about. And, you know, someone pointed out that the thing he and his organization did in taking down Trushaib's account is a violation. It's an initiation of force, and therefore it's a violation of his own universally preferable behavior. So he's violated his own rules. You know, I really wonder if he's going to represent himself in court, and if he's going to make some like Howard Rorkish style closing argument speech.
I don't think so.
Incorporate universally preferable behavior in it.
Because he's all principle and word. He's not principle and deed. Like, he's very open. Like, no, I obey all the rules and I pay all the taxes and I completely comply. Everything is just sort of theoretical and in my head.
Maybe you should get Mark Stevens to represent him in court.
Can Mark Stevens do that?
He's advised people in court. He's not a licensed attorney. He's not a member of the bar, so he can't represent people in court. But he has gone to court. He's prepared with people in court to go into court and represent themselves. you know, basically he sits in the corner and I don't know, winks at him or gives him magic hand signals. I don't know how it works. I don't know how
I'm willing to bet Molyneux would find a lawyer in his cult, is a cult-ish community.
Yeah, it's not a cult, man. Don't call it a cult.
I didn't call it a cult. I'm just saying, I'm willing to bet there's some king, philosopher king out there who has is an attorney, and he'll end up getting a sort of cheap service from him.
You get what you pay for. Yeah, True Shibes is willing to spend everything she's got on this, so it's going to be interesting, man. And you know, when I was making that ad, I asked, because I always say True Shibes, but I think it's actually True Sheebs, because it's named after a dog, the Shiba Inu.
The Shiba Inu.
Yeah, so yeah, it should be True Sheebs. And I asked her, does it matter how I say it? And she said, probably not, since it's a meme based on misspellings and mispronunciations.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's even debate over the Doge meme or even how it's pronounced.
Yeah.
So
I say Doge.
I like Doe. That's how I pronounce it.
It's the French version. I wonder if this whole thing has, like, because, you know, the price of Dogecoin has gone up. I wonder if the attention of the True Shibes channel has made people more interested in it and bought it.
Single-handedly. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I pretty much single-handedly drove down the price of Namecoin from $5 to $2 per coin. Silence. There's crickets. You don't have any follow-up questions, Davi? Are you there, Davi? Are you there? Hello, hello? Yeah. Well, let's see. We lost them, so I'm going to read a fan letter we got today that I kind of liked. It's from Benjamin. He said, loves the Fiend. Started listening to Free Talk Live in 2009. This year, started hearing our name in the program, and around Porkfest is when he started listening to the Fiends. Then he describes at length how he does it technically. Let's see. He says, basically all day I'm cleaning carpet and I listen to you guys, Free Talk Live, some Hancock, some William H. Grigg, among many others. But yours is the podcast I make sure to not miss an episode of, which has replaced Free Talk Live as my not-to-miss podcast. You can't say enough good things about your show. Love the parody political ads. The co-hosts, every single one of them are top-notch. Do we have you back yet?
Yes, I'm back.
Are you there? Are you safe? Have you been contacted by the government?
You top-notch.
The government did not get me co-host. This time.
Yeah, we lost you. So I'm reading a fan mail from some flounder. He's not a flounder. That's from the Bull and Moose show. Let's see. We've replaced Free Talk Live as his not-to-miss podcast. Can't say enough good things about the show. Love the parody political ads. The co-hosts, every single one of them is top-notch. Aw. And I try to get as many people as I can listen to. I think I'm really close to actually getting my fiance to start listening to you guys instead of having the Today Show on in the background when she's getting ready in the mornings. If for no other reason than so that I can talk, so I can talk about the show with her when I get home from work in the afternoon. Anyways, totally rambling. Have a wonderful week, month, year. Worms. And yes, please feel free to use this pic as you wish. Let's see. Yeah, Daniel. That's from Daniel. Do we still have the network there? I don't know. I'm just going to keep talking. Let's see. What else do we got? Well, there's a Wired magazine. Yeah. Hear that? Yeah. Yeah.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. When I needed a robust and secure home business computer network for my radio show, I hired QPG.us. QPG.us did a great job with a complex custom setup and did it remotely over the internet. Whether you have one computer or 1,000, QPG.us can set up your small business network, no matter where in the world you live, fast and at a reasonable price. QPG.us is a liberty-loving company that can also help you with networking, domain name registration, DNS, email, SSL, VPNs, and more. That's QPG.us. Freedom Fiends. We get knocked down, but we get up again. You're never going to put us down. Yep. Internet went out, switched over to the other internet twice. But, you know, it switched over. That's the good thing. It didn't happen before we had two. I actually have three because I can use 4G on the phone as a hotspot if I need to. So, yeah, they can't take us off the air. Government and hackers and critics can't get rid of us. But people try to get rid of critics. And we were talking about Stefan Molyneux and his magical gun of the state of a copyright violation when there was none, and that it's come back to bite him in the butt. And what were you saying, MK Lords, about the transparency of the Bitcoin blockchain, something that's never been available to the public before? Many features of it. And what is one of the features of it?
So I just want to start with, this is a classic case of someone punching down and it backfiring really badly. And this is commonly the case when someone is punching down at someone less powerful than them. He didn't have to take out this little YouTube channel that had a fraction of the subscribers that his does and who was operating on, I mean, I don't know. Obviously, TrueShip thinks she's going to pursue this case and hopefully, you know, make money. And you can see it, the public ledger comes up with blockchain technology because you can look up his address and see how many.
Yeah, I think we've lost them again. Are you there? Are you safe? Have you been contacted by the government? Hello, 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 hello. Yep. Mew. Mew, 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 mew. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting late night talk radio. Yeah. Can we get him back? Can we get him, get him, get him? Can we get him, get him back? Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. This is Mr. Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Don't know if I'm going out on radio.
All right.
Yeah. Are we back? Yeah.
Okay, so real quick, I'll finish up my point. So we don't know how much he's made in his PayPal account. I assume it's a lot more, but he's doing pretty good with Bitcoin donations. I kind of find it odd that here's this information that's publicly out there. You can see how many people have donated. You may not know who they are because of their Bitcoin wallet address, but you can see it's all there out in the public. So when he complains about not getting enough donations, it's very strange to me when you can see that he's not only getting donations, but actually doing pretty well for himself just in Bitcoin. And that's not considering his PayPal donations over the years, which I assume are much larger.
Well, let's see. His one public wallet address currently has $136,526.55 worth of Bitcoin. And he's received a total of $180,828 worth of Bitcoin. And I don't know about him, but I know that I get about twice as much money in PayPal donations as I do in Bitcoin donations. So
PayPal is still more commonly used. And yeah, even though I think Bitcoin is super easy to use, PayPal is going to be more commonly used. And again, you should be making money for providing a service to people that they find valuable. But I don't know. It just kind of, it's always kind of rubbed me the wrong way when that information is out there, but you're still, you know, asking for money from people. And it tends to be a very specific audience that he asks this of, too, which is generally younger men who watch his show. Maybe they're still in college, which student debt, that's a huge problem. Maybe they're losing their support group from separating from their families. If they believe that they, separation is necessary, that is even more problematic when you lose that kind of support group. So I don't know. It's certain things like that are a bit problematic for me. I tried to give him a fair shake. I really tried to like him. I've watched several of his videos and I think he makes some great points, but punching down was a really, really bad idea.
Punching down. I don't know that term. I think I can get it from context, but what does that mean?
Yeah. Punching down is when you take a hit at someone who is less popular or powerful than you. So writers do this all the time.
That's called bullying, isn't it?
It's bullying. Yeah. It's actually a form of bullying. And oftentimes it backfires. I've been punched down at before to my benefit, which is kind of hilarious when that happens. But yeah, I mean, bloggers do this back.
Yeah. And I think that the moral of the story is ignore this kind of stuff, because the Streisand effect always bites you in the butt. You know, it's always going to get you. Have you guys had any experience with that? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. Yep. Uh-huh. Yeah, la 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 la. Are we back? I think we're back. Yep.
Man.
Hey, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I switched over to the G4. Go ahead, man.
So yeah, I just want to say there's nothing wrong with being a hypocrite. Everyone is a hypocrite on some level. The problem comes when you say that no one else can be hypocrites, and if they're a hypocrite in any way, then you have to disregard what they say, which is actually what UPB says. There's actually an essay that he wrote this in, asserting that if an ethicist makes a claim that he's wrong at, or if he's somehow contradicts his own ethical standards, then everything he says can be thrown into question. So
the funniest thing
about
that essay is that he says in the introduction to that essay that it doesn't commit the very fallacy which that is.
What do you mean?
Well, it's a fallacy to say if you've committed a fallacy, then I can disregard everything that you've said.
Yeah, it's the fallacy.
Right.
I kind of believe the fallacy, at least if you make enough fallacies. And that's one of the defenses of the guy is, he says some stuff that may not be right on. But, you know, he's done so much good for the world, which is there's actually a name for that fallacy. It's called the reverse Mussolini fallacy. The original use of it is at least Mussolini made the trains run on time.
Well, it sounds like that's the great man fallacy, isn't it?
Sort of. Yeah, well, yes. There's a lot of that going on, too.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Like, the fact that he's done good in the world or whatever, like, that doesn't become false just because he happens to be a jerk.
Hmm. I don't know. I have trouble taking life lessons from somebody who every word that comes out of their mouth is about the value of truth and honesty and virtue. Yeah, and then, like, they often do things that don't really have those things.
But see, this is not about defending the man. The fallacy he's committing is to say that things are factually in error because the man is incorrect.
Explain that.
Does that make sense? So Molyneux has committed these fallacies and he's kind of a jerk and he has, he's put his foot in his mouth. That doesn't mean that, like, when he says that, when he makes a factual statement, you can't assume the factual statement is false because he has made all these other errors. Like, if he says something true, it's still true.
Yeah.
He doesn't taint the information.
The basic takeaway from that I would have is you can't throw libertarianism or anarcho-capitalism under the bus because of this guy.
Right.
And I've seen a lot of people trying to do that. Like, even that article that came out in Tech Dirt.
Because that's the best argument collectivists have is to collectivize.
It's kind of weird that he put anarcho-capitalist in quotes, you know, anarcho-capitalist who's against intellectual property uses intellectual property. It was called something like that. But the guy who wrote that article, first of all, he's not a libertarian, but he hangs out with him. You know, he's on the board of an anti-IP organization with Stephen Kinsella.
And he's libertarian adjacent.
He's libertarian adjacent. But more interestingly than that, he is the guy who coined the phrase the Streisand effect.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, which is named after Barbara Streisand, right, which is what happened to Molyneux. Like, basically, you know, if he'd ignored all of this, most people wouldn't know the name Trushybs. But because he tried to silence Trushybs, everybody knows the name now. So,
yeah.
Yep. Ian Freeman is really good at not playing to the Streisand effect. Like, when people say horrible things about him, he doesn't even care. He doesn't do anything about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's sort of like a law.
That was kind of working for a while.
What's that? MK?
That was working for a while for Molyneux. I mean, he was ignoring it and not addressing it in any way. And it tended to be working for a while.
Yeah.
You know, there were still people complaining about it. But for a while, it kind of quieted down. I didn't really see a whole lot going on until this lawsuit came up.
Yeah. So do you guys want to segue out of this moral morass into an adjacent topic of the people that keep your Facebook feed clean and sparkly?
Okay, what do you mean?
Yes.
I sent you guys a link, and it's for an article in Wired magazine about content moderation. If you have that one up. Do you have that one up?
I do.
Yeah, yeah. The laborers. Go ahead and read some of it. Well, you're going to have to censor this for radio. The laborers who keep sex pics and beheadings out of your Facebook feed. And this article is from the 23rd of this month. And let's see. The campus is, and it has a picture in it of a woman sitting in a cube farm, you know, room full of computer people at desks and computers in the Philippines with this gorgeous view out the window. And she's sitting looking at her computer monitor with her head in her hands like, no more. Don't make me look at any more of this stuff. So basically, Facebook and a lot of other companies outsource reviewing flagged material to other countries. First of all, because it's cheaper, but the reason they use the Philippines is because it used to be, you know, a U.S. colony, and it has a lot of kind of like moral and social connection to America. Like basically what people would consider, they have a closer idea of what Americans in general would consider offensive than people would in, say, India or China. So do you want to read a little bit of this, MK?
Yeah. Start with the first one. The campuses of the tech industry are famous for their lavish cafeterias, cushy shuttles, and on-site laundry services. But on a muggy February afternoon, some of these companies' most important work is being done 7,000 miles away on the second floor of a former elementary school at the end of a row of auto mechanic stalls in Bacoor, a gritty Filipino town 13 miles southwest of Manila. When I climb the building's narrow stairwell, I need to press against the wall to slide by workers heading down for a smoke break. Up one flight, a drowsy security guard staffs what passes for a front desk, a wooden table in a dark hallway overflowing with file folders. And this is basically going to go into talk about what the content that these people have to sort through when abusive posts are reported on Facebook and other sites, too. So they're keeping all of these really horrible. The second paragraph kind of gets into the description. I won't go there, but.
Well, it's like sex and sex and gore, basically, like, you know, close ups of car accidents and hardcore sex. Yeah. Awful things that people don't, not everybody wants to see on the internet. And it's dealing with what they call the grandma problem, which is older people finally showing up on the internet.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
Be more terrifying.
When you lived in Saudi Arabia, did you ever have any dealings with the police of vice and virtue?
Yeah, they used to pinch my mom.
What?
Yeah, so the government says to us that that my mom doesn't have to dress like they do, that because she's not American. Muslim, those laws don't apply to her. And And that memo apparently didn't reach all the way down to the street sort of, you know, beat cop for vice and virtue. And so they used to harass her for not dressing right. They also took away our cameras. My dad was a photographer at the time. It's part of why he was there, was he was an advertising consultant. And we apparently like inadvertently took a picture of a government building and because they all looked the same, at least they did at the time. And so we got pulled over by these police and my parents both like got out of the car and like yelled at this cop and refused to hand over their cameras.
What decade was this?
This was in the 80s.
So it took 30 years for America to catch up with being like Saudi Arabia, where you can't take pictures of government buildings.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't think Saudi Arabia is one on our short list of countries we might expat to.
No, I don't recommend
square,
it.
Man.
You know, I've been square. There. And if you're looking for sort of like a vacation in asceticism, maybe it's okay. But...
Well, my backyard would be good for that, too. I don't have to go all the way to there.
There's plenty of open fields that would give you all of the perks of Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. Well, a lot of Wyoming looks like a lot of Pakistan. This is the Freedom Fiends. I don't know if someone's monkeying with our internet connection. Some critic, someone who plays dirty, who doesn't want the truth getting out. That's entirely possible. We will look into it. We will check the logs, and we will brick wall against it happening again. But we were talking about the people who protect you from things on the internet that might be scary at Facebook and elsewhere. So, MK, you want to continue with that?
Yeah, so further down in the article, it says, so companies like Facebook and Twitter rely on an army of reporters employed to soak up the worst of humanity in order to protect the rest of us. So yes, like you were saying, this is like protecting grandma from the scary internet.
Yep. And people make about $1 an hour to sit there and look at all the stuff posted, millions of pictures per minute on Facebook. And when stuff gets flagged, someone looks at it, and they make an executive decision, but they're not executives. And that's how the internet is kept safe for grandma. We'll be back with hour two on the Freedom Fiends.
Worms.
Yeah. And, you know, if they disconnect us, they'll just play another episode from last week where we're talking about the same stuff. So it's not really going to keep it off the air. All right. Worms. National Cat Day. I think that's why Dobby's purring. We got Dobby Barker, we got MK Lords, and I'm Michael W. Dean. And MK is going to take the reins and steer this pony to the Philippines and talk about the people who protect you on the internet from seeing scary pictures. And this is we're talking about terms of service stuff where it's like, you know, actually you agree by being on the site. This is not a legal matter. This is a...
It's the free market building a shallow end for the internet.
The wading pool. Yes. Yeah. So go ahead.
And they are, you know, they are going after real threats in a lot of ways. There's a lot of really horrible stuff that's reported on Facebook and other sites. And, you know, sometimes they do catch people who are doing really horrible things. But the people who are forced to look at this stuff all day don't make nearly as much if they're working
in
the Philippines.
Okay, they're not forced. They're paid.
They're paid. So Ryan Cardino, former contractor for Microsoft in the Philippines, in the article, he says he made $500 per month by the end of his 3.5-year tenure with an outsourcing firm. So last year, he was offered $312 per month by another firm to moderate content for Facebook. So that's not a lot. I mean, the Philippines is not in... I mean, they're not in a drastically different standard of living than we are. These are not. And you know, I definitely understand the economic arguments. This, you know, a lot of people do see this as an opportunity, you know, but I don't know. I never felt comfortable with kind of some of the ANCAPs or libertarians who would defend sweatshop and child labor, stuff like that. I don't know that that's an argument that needs to be made, you know?
Did you
I get the premise, did but you say I don't know that it needs to be made.
Did you say that they have a similar standard of living to America?
No, not similar, but they're not so destitute that paying them wages like this is, I mean, I don't know. Paltry even by industry standards.
$300 a month?
$300 a month.
That's not anywhere near American standard of living.
No.
So go on.
But yeah, I mean, that's what they're offering. And so yeah, a lot of these people are having to look at really horrible things all day. But I came across an article probably about a year ago, actually maybe a little less. It was last year, written by one of these moderators. And this one's a little edgier. In fact, I highly recommend reading. It's called The Real Story Behind Your Facebook Moderation and Your Petty Reports. Now, this one's very, it's a very spicy article. Lots of spicy language in here. But basically, she makes the argument that people report things from just general butthurtedness, like general, oh, I don't like something on the internet. It offends me because of, you know, my personal views on whatever. Things that are not dangerous.
Yeah.
So things that get misreported, they're kind of shoved down. And, you know, legitimate things, you know, children being abused, things like that are being pushed down and it's hard to find. So there's this one section I wanted to read real quick. Thanks to your delicate sensibilities, I didn't get to read her report until it was 5 her time. 4 hours ago, I could have possibly prevented another one of her rapes. I could have had the police waiting for him when he arrived at her house. 4 hours from now, I'll probably cry myself to sleep because I didn't get to. Thanks again to people who obviously need to stay the F off the internet. So this happens quite a bit. People reporting for ridiculous things, getting pages taken down simply because they're offended. And these are people, the name of this blog, by the way, is theinternetoffendsme.wordpress.com.
So wait, I missed some of the headline there of, are you saying that because they're off dealing with all the silly things that people report, they missed preventing a rape from the internet?
Yes. They miss a lot of abuse. A lot of this is by children try to report it and they don't rate it as highly on the, you know, severity. There are different levels of reporting you can rate. So the people who get offended by things that really are, you know, ridiculous things to be offended at, maybe they rate it at a higher level than someone who urgently needs help and they don't realize, you know, this is a 7-year-old girl in this case. So, she doesn't know what else to do.
Yeah, I was going to say, who reports a real crime on Facebook instead of on the phone?
Children, but, a lot of times.
I guess. Yeah. So tell me more.
So it's a really, the internet is a scary place, but, you know, it's not so terrifying that we need people to completely protect us from everything. And you know, the report function has a purpose, just like 911 has a purpose. You know, I'm not a huge fan of the police either or anything like that. But right now, you know, there are places you can at least attempt to call for help. And, you know, reporting things as if they're a big deal is just ridiculous. I get blocking someone if they're annoying you. I totally, you know, support blocking and unfriending or, you know, whatever you want to do. But yeah, I mean, really, you know, reporting things and saying they're, you know, because they're offended. She even lists a few things that people have said. I don't believe in this coin. It goes against what I believe in.
Coin.
Yeah. I don't know that it's referring to Bitcoin or anything, but that's literally something that was
like
I don't
a foreign
believe in
coin.
This coin.
Somebody posted a picture of like a Canadian loony and they're like, what?
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
Well, I talked last night about how the kind of signal to noise ratio of the internet has gotten so high because it seems like these days everyone defines themselves by a philosophy, whether it's, you know, libertarian or labor worker or anarcho-capitalist or anarcho-syndicalist or feminist or men's rights movement. Like almost everybody has one or more, but usually one like thing they're really passionate about, and they want to scream about it constantly. You know, like to the point where that's, it drowns out everything else. And the thing about Facebook, it's kind of so general interest that that stuff's going to come up. Like, you know, one thing leaks over into the other thing. Whereas when I got on the internet, it was like, it was a lot of narrowly focused forums, and that, you know, there were beefs and there were arguments, but it was about much more narrow things, you know, instead of, you know, anarcho-capitalist versus Nazi, it was like, you know, this tiny flavor of anarcho-capitalist versus this other tiny variation of anarcho-capitalist. And I kind of like forums that are single issue like that. Actually, this is kind of interesting. There's a couple of Molyneux forums, anti-Molyneux forums. One is called FDRliberated.com. And I have never seen such a wide variety of types of philosophies of people come together for the single purpose about complaining about one person. I mean, literally, there are where it takes a village to complain about Stefan Molyneux. Like literally, there are anarcho-capitalists on there. There are liberals on there. There are absolute straight up feminists. There are straight up men's rights movement people. They all get along in their common dislike of Stefan Molyneux. But
that makes some sense. I mean,
yeah,
it's sort of the enemy of my enemy is my friend thing going on, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I like to hang out more. I don't spend a lot of time on Facebook. I'm on there basically to just, you know, like use an app to automatically post the Fiend's RSS feed on there. And I go on there once a day and check to see, you know, what's going on. I click like on a few things. I post a couple of pictures and I leave. I don't hang out there. I probably check in twice a day for about 5 minutes a day. But there's other forums.
I take time off on the weekends a lot.
Yeah, there's other forums where I spend a lot more time, and they're generally more single issue, like, you know, the Free State Wyoming Forum or the Free State Project Forum, or, you know, even some technical forums like audio forums. And I don't get that deep into friendships on a lot of those with people, but the discussions are a lot more interesting to me. You know, there's a form of banning I heard about that's pretty amazing that I wish I could do on WordPress blogs, but I don't think there's a way to do it. It's called shadow banning or hell banning. Do you know what that is?
No, what does that mean?
It sounds like the most awesome way to ban snippy people, like people who just come on to try to mess with your game. You know, like they don't, and it's generally people who disagree with your philosophy. So they come on and try to, like, you know, upset your happy pool of people talking about this common philosophy. Shadow banning or hell banning is basically where you don't kick the person off the site. You make it so the only person that can see them is them.
That's funny.
And then, like, you know, nice. They keep posting, they keep chiming in on threads. Nobody else replies because no one else sees them. There's a couple other variations on that. One's called slow banning, where you make that particular user, you make the site load really slow for them. And there's another called error banning. Error banning is where, like, every second time they click on a link, it throws up some kind of error.
That's hilarious. So it just discourages them.
Yeah. I think I've been hell banned before. Now that I know what it is, I can't think of a particular instance, but I'm thinking of times where I was really active and feisty on some forum and, you know, with people. And then all of a sudden, like, nobody was replying to me. And I just thought it was because they all blocked me, but I think it was because the moderator hell banned me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think people need to explore more how customizable the interface of Facebook is too. Like, if they're not liking the content they're getting, there's so many ways.
Yeah.
To change the feed. You know what I mean? Totally. Like you can cultivate or curate your own news feed.
It does it for you too.
I mean,
it definitely finds what you like and prioritizes.
I kind of gave up on trying to do that and trying to really, like, work Facebook and have it be fun for me because I was on it a long time ago. Like, I don't know what, right after it came out, after everybody started switching over from MySpace to Facebook. And
back when it was simple.
And the thing was, they kept tinkering with their algorithm so much that, like, you'd learn a whole interface and spend time customizing it the way you wanted it. And then it would change to where that didn't work anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And they also punished me for leaving and coming back. Like, I was on there and had, I had like 3,500 quote unquote friends at one point. And I was very active on there. It's like 4 years ago. And I got really fed up with the time wasting, like mad at myself for wasting that much time. And it was kind of like the way alcoholics are, like, I can't just have one. I have to just delete it. So I deleted my account. And it was very freeing to me. And I wrote some cheery articles about it and, you know, congratulating myself. And then after about 3 years, I wanted to be able to post the Freedom Fiends feed on there. And I was just sending links to Lou and having him do it. This is before he was a co-host. And I found out there was an app that would do it. So I went and signed up and made an account that I didn't do anything with other than use this app to do it. And then slowly I started creeping back on to like 5 minutes a day, 6 minutes a day, till now I'm up to like 10 minutes a day. And it's, I know I'm fooling myself. It's kind of like an alcoholic being sober for a while and then saying, I can just have one and drink socially. And that never ends well. But, I don't know. I don't think it's going to be a problem because Facebook isn't fun anymore. And really, like, you know, I mean, the Fiend site has like 1,000 viewers on there, but we post something and it gets like five likes, you know, and it's not because the people don't like it. It's because they don't see it. I think Facebook punished me for leaving. It wants me to grovel.
Hell hath no fury like a Facebook scorned.
We'll be back on the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the market. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
You've heard of shinybadges.com, but check out the new Causes tab. Every item includes a donation to a worthwhile Liberty project. Buy the Silk Road pin to contribute to the Ross Ulbricht Legal Defense Fund, or buy the Bitcoin Not Bombs t-shirt to contribute to Hoodie the Homeless 2014. Pick from many more. Go to causes.shinybadges.com and get yourself some quality Liberty products that not only start a conversation, but also put your money where your heart is. Plus, get a free gift when you pay with Bitcoin. causes.shinybadges.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
This is the Freedom Fiends. We're partying hard here. We're celebrating International Cat Day, which we're going to get to in the next segment. You're supposed to give your cat a what kind of massage?
Just says give your cat a massage.
Yeah.
To celebrate National Cat Day.
I don't know if I've ever given a cat a massage. Like said,
I'm calming. A calming massage.
I don't think I've ever said I'm going to massage my cat now, but I've rubbed cats a lot and rubbed their bellies, and I pet cats kind of hard, and they kind of like it. Not all cats like it, but you know, they'll let you know. Like I don't abuse them. I don't pet them real tenderly. I pet them. They like kind of a rough rubbing sometimes.
Isn't October 29th also Black Tuesday in the Great Depression?
I don't know. We could look that up, but we're going to talk about the signal to noise ratio on the internet some more. So we're talking about echo chambers during the break, you know, about how like if you're a single issue kind of person, like, you know, I like cats or I'm a libertarian or, you know, whatever, Facebook will end up just feeding that stuff to you. And it's kind of like, it just confirms what you already know. And I'm not saying I want to go argue with, you know, labor union members about whether we need the state or not, because they don't always, but I've had them end up threatening to find me and kill me. And it gets ugly, man, when people get into why they need their part of the government backing their laws. Even people just want to run to the government. We're going to get to this later with National Cat Day. One of the ways they tell you to celebrate National Cat Day is write your congressman. Come on, man. Why do you got to bring government into cats? But I don't know, man. How long you guys been on the internet? And how? Tell me a little about that.
Probably since, I mean, I don't know, kind in a way, as long as I can remember, really, because my parents were sort of early adopters, but I couldn't give you a year.
How about you, Megan?
Yeah, I would say, I guess, late 90s or so, when I was a pretty young kid.
I was on in 91 at the library and 93 at my work. And that's, 94 at my work. 91, like before the web, using like text-based gopher to chat with people and retrieve files. What year
did Kurt Cobain die? Because I definitely had internet at home the year Kurt Cobain died.
94, I think.
Yeah, I think it was 94.
Okay, there you go.
Might have been 95. No, it was 94. Yeah, that's right. So, and then I had a website. I had internet at home and had a website by 96. And there weren't that many people on the internet back then. Like late 90s, it started getting to more. But it's kind of like everybody's on it now. And it's finally like, I think the final straggler adopters have been on, are getting on now. I think that's actually what's happening with our internet. We're not, I checked the logs. It's not a denial of service attack. It was, I live in one of the more rural places in America for wiring for internet. And basically what's happening is the last batch of people that don't have the internet in America are all getting it now. And in places where I live, where they don't have the internet infrastructure for it, they oversell it. And it, you have dropouts, man. It's really weird.
Mm.
Get off the internet, Grandma. I'm trying to do a radio show, Grandpa. Grandpa's probably
serious.
Asleep. Grandpa's probably asleep, though.
I don't know. There's time zones where Grandpa's awake.
Yeah, but I think it depends more with cable. It depends on what your neighbors are doing, like in a one block radius. But we have a DSL backup. But yeah, the DSL backup had problems tonight. That's never happened before. But the engineer at GCN told me the solution, and I'm going to implement it on my day off. So,
you know, this rules for participation in National Cat Day is so egregious. I almost want to abolish National Cat Day, if you can believe that.
Well, we can just do it right now. It's not a legal holiday, is it? It's something made up by a cat food company. Isn't
well, they're
it?
Sure making it sound like
by
it's
a
very
litter
legal.
Cat litter company.
Yeah.
Yeah. Literally naturally fresh. The walnut based litter for cats made this up.
Well, I've heard the rumor. I don't know if it's an urban myth or not, but I've heard that like Valentine's Day was invented by the Hallmark card company or something,
or at least popularized by it.
Yes, popularized by it. And then I think that Mother's Day and Father's Day they may have made up, but I'm positive they made up Secretary's Day.
Definitely made up. Yep. Definitely.
And now I think that's called Administrative Assistance Day.
Yes.
To not be sexist. And I've been an administrative assistant, which is basically a male who is a secretary. So that was my first real job in an office where I had to wear a tie and learn to use the internets in 96, 97, 98, 99. So a little bit more about the echo chamber there, MK Lords.
Yeah, so I don't like it. When I first got on Facebook, I was friends mostly with people I locally knew, and then it's kind of extended out to libertarian land, and I don't like the echo chamber of causes.
Yeah, I like Twitter better. Twitter's better at giving you interesting things that aren't in your narrow wheelhouse.
Yes.
Worms. We'll be back.
Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Shiny badges on your jacket, shiny badges. Yeah!
This is Davi Barker from shinybadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at shinybadges.com, write worms in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
Hey, this is Squisklar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom's Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Guns and Weed, Buy Sheep for Sheep on Jeep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN. LRN.FM.
So this is Freedom Fiends, and we were going to talk about International Cat Day, but our council is telling us we can't talk about International Cat Day. Well, at least we can't use any of their, why don't we just read their rules, the rules for this wonderful party they've made up.
Yeah, you mind? I'll do it.
Yeah, we were going to talk about International Cat Day. We were probably going to make light of it a little bit, but we were going to probably, you know, sell a few cats or whatever they're selling. Cat walnut flavored
cat litter. That's what they're selling.
So read the social contract you agree to by looking at this webpage that we're not going to give out.
This website for National Cat Day, I went to their site and they have a tab called Rules for Participation. And I thought, rules? I thought this was a cat day.
This was
cat
a party, man. New
rules. Yeah. But, you know, it is.
It's written by a dog.
It says, while we want everyone to be able to enjoy and celebrate this day, please be mindful of our right to protect our brand and the rights of our sponsors. We do not allow any business, events, or promotions of any kind using our name and branding without express approval and most likely an official partnership. This includes shelters and rescues partnering with for-profit businesses. Okay. All shelters and rescues.
Let me make a quick statement. I don't even know the name of this company, but we do not endorse. We were probably going to say we like them, but we were not going to imply. We like the idea of it until we read this. We are not.
I didn't like the idea.
We are not implying any kind of connection. They do not endorse the Freedom Fiends. And now that we know there's that many rules for Cat Day participation, we're just going to say every day is Cat Day except today. In our
Except
world.
Today.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, sure. They totally ripped off Catterday. Every Saturday is Catterday. So this already existed. They're just trying to trademark this. They're just trying to put their little corporate brand on it. But no. Like Catterday exists. And it doesn't need a trademark. But it just is. And the cats know it and we know it. And that's all that matters.
All right, read on, Dobby.
So I'm gonna skip to bloggers and writers. So bloggers and writers, you are welcome to use our logo and our top 20 list only if you include the name of our founder, celebrity pet lifestyle expert Colleen Page, and that you add a link to this website. You may not use our top 20 list and link to any of its contents to third-party sources to promote them. You may not use any of our other content for your article without a request via email. For businesses that choose to ignore our rights and this request, we will be forced to send the matter to our legal team.
We haven't done any of that yet. We haven't even said the name of the company, have we? We're not going to say the name of the website or the company.
Because we're not allowed to. We don't have permission via email.
Right. What is a celebrity pet lifestyle expert?
Is that a human or a cat? Made up
jobs. She used to be a life coach, and nobody wanted her, and so she became a cat life coach.
You know, a lot
but
of
only for celebrities.
Like, an inordinate number of people who are involved with Stefan Molyneux's organization, who are followers of him, an inordinate number of those people list their profession as life coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Michael DeMarco could have written this paragraph. Like maybe this kind of reads like a DMCA, doesn't it?
I don't know, man. Yeah. It's a way to suck the fun out of cats. That's what I'll say.
Yeah.
You can never suck the fun out of cats.
I know. And, you know, philosophy, too, is like kind of the job that people do when they don't have any marketable skills, I think.
And well, there's a difference between being a philosopher and calling yourself a philosopher.
Yeah.
You know, like there are really good philosophers out there. And I don't know, the really good ones that I've seen, they don't typically have to say they are one.
Name one.
Michael Humer.
Who's that?
Excellent anarcho-capitalist philosopher. He wrote, let me bring up some of his stuff. I've never heard of him
because he's not obnoxious.
No, he's not at all. Yeah. He wrote The Ethics of Intuitionism, and he wrote another one kind of laying out how he would think anarcho-capitalism would work and some of the arguments against the state. Just around the same arguments that Molyneux uses, too. But I find him to be a little clearer and
you know, he doesn't use the emotionalism so much. Yeah. I'm not big on
the appeal to emotion.
Yeah.
That guy, I mean, Andreas, I get it. What's Andreas' last name? I can't pronounce it.
Antonopoulos.
Yeah, Andreas Antonopoulos. I've heard him, not in person like you guys have, but I've heard him give speeches. I've heard recordings of him on the internet and videos, and I was entertained and enlightened, and it made me think.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Andreas, hey, ever, I would definitely put in that category.
Davi, did you ever write him and ask him if I'm unbanned yet on his Twitter?
He said he was going to look into it, but he never responded to me after that. And
he's
so,
a busy guy.
Yeah, I don't know. Speaking of which, October 29th is Black Tuesday. It was the Wall Street stock market crash of 1929, right before the Great Depression.
When everybody jumped out the window. So the people that didn't jump out the window went home and cuddled with their cats to console themselves and called it Cat Day.
I think it's worth saying that the views expressed by National Cat Day do not represent the views of any cat, living or dead.
Or of the Freedom Fiends and
or anyone else. Or anyone other than celebrity pet lifestyle expert.
There is no connection coming or going between the Freedom Fiends and International Cat Day. And, you know, but I do got to say, I like the idea of people and companies and groups making up their own holiday. We're not saying that's not a real holiday. It's not from the government. Like, I don't think holidays from the government are real holidays. Like, I really hate, I hate holidays for the most part. I really hate holidays where it's so collectivist, man. It's like, okay, day after tomorrow, everyone dresses up weird and goes door to door and begs. You know, in at the end of December, everybody celebrates the birth of their Lord. Even if it's not their Lord, they have to see it and celebrate it. And, you know, I'm fine with celebrations. I'm just fine. I'm not fine with, having it forced down my throat, you know, and I kind of feel like if it's July 4th and you don't hang out a flag, people want to lynch you, you know, and if it's New Year's Eve and you don't want to go out drinking, people think you're weird. Like, literally, like, if you don't want to go out and make yourself sick, like, I think the idea of the over drinking on New Year's Eve is basically like to forget everything bad you did in the previous year and try to start with a clean slate.
Yeah, I don't like the overdrinking, and my birthday is on July 4th too, so I'm always expected to party because it's also my birthday and July 4th. The pressure is really on, and but I've been taking it easy the past couple of years and just kind of trying to chill on the birthday. It's actually my husband and I have the same birthday.
Wow, same year?
No, 4 years apart.
Wow.
So.
Yeah. I actually forgot my birthday yesterday. My mom called me in the middle of the day and she says, "Hi, I just wanted to call for you to wish me a happy anniversary." And I was like, "Okay, happy anniversary." And she says, "Of being a mom." I had no idea what she was talking about. I forgot. Yeah.
That's sweet.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. It slips my mind.
We can't forget each other's birthdays.
There you go.
Other people will remind us, too.
Do you have cats? Do you forget Catterday?
I never forget Catterday. I don't have any cats currently. I used to, but
how do you celebrate Catterday?
You post posting cat pictures on Twitter, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's one of those who made that up?
Cats.
Cats invented.
They rule the internet. I mean, everything on the internet eventually returns to cats.
I think
they're the secret chiefs.
I think my internet had like cat hair stuck in the servers or something tonight.
Probably cats.
It's a hairball.
Yeah, I used to where I moved in with my wife when I met her, you know, 6 or 8 months after I met her and a few months before we got married. She had had many cats in her life and had never cleaned, you know, had someone come clean out the furnace filter because she didn't know you're supposed to do that. Like, she'd been married before, the husband took care of it. He died. She'd been single for a few, you know, bunch of years. And I was like, "Hey, you know, we should hire someone to come over and blow out these ducts." And they came over to do it. And it was like they cleaned the ducts out, but they were like, "We need to take apart the furnace engine and take out the motor and blow it out." And they took the motor out, and it was probably about the size of a 12 pack of beer, and it had so much cat hair in it and on it that it looked like a 12 pack of beer made of cat hair. And they took it out. Wow. They took it out in the yard and used an air compressor to blow it out, and it had a fan on it that was completely caked with, you know, inches of cat hair deep in it. And before he blew it out, I was like, "Oh, can I take a picture of that?" And I took a picture of it, and I made it my 404 page on my website and put the text on it: "We'll be back soon. We're blowing the cat hair out of the servers." Yeah, cat day.
Little known fact about the internet. Annual.
What's that?
Go ahead.
Oh, little known fact about the internet. It's actually a series of cats, not tubes.
Yeah. So what else you got?
It's the 9th annual National Cat Day. Although, according to Wikipedia, Colleen Page is actually an animal welfare advocate, not a celebrity pet lifestyle expert. Well,
why does she, what do they want you to write your congressman about for Cat Day?
They want you to write your congressman to ban cat mills and gas chambers in your state. I'm not sure what that means exactly.
And I had no idea there was a cat genocide going on.
Well, cat mills and cat gas chambers are two ends of the same continuum of the circle of cats. It's kind of the darker side of the circle of cats. Basically, cat mills, I guess there's people who breed specific breeds of cats when people want breeds of cats. And that makes sense to me, but it's really ridiculous to me that there are people that just like grow mixed kittens to sell to pet stores when there are so many cats available at your local shelter. And I don't mean to sound like some square at your local, you know, like, but seriously, man, there are many, many, many cats that are going to live and die in a cage lonely because someone doesn't want to take them home. So it's just really absurd to me that on top of that, people breed cats on an industrial scale.
Why would there be a market for them to sell if they're everywhere?
Because people go into pet stores that have exotic things that are hard to get, like, you know, cockatoos and weasels and whatever, marmots, whatever they sell, nutrias, whatever they sell in pet stores. And then, like, you know, they always have cats and puppies in the front window to bring people in. They go, oh, and they buy one when they're probably not even really prepared for cat ownership or puppy ownership. And then they end up getting dumped and they end up feral. And it's a big hassle, but yeah, man, there are cats out there. You don't need to support the puppy mills. I'm not telling you what kind of market to deal with, but you don't really need to do that. And you pay a lot more in a pet store for a milled puppy or a milled cat than you do at the shelter. Usually at the shelter, it's like $60 and it includes like $400 worth of veterinary care and shots and spaying and stuff. So
yeah,
it's a better deal to go to the shelter. Even if it is state run, man, you're paying those taxes. Go get a cat.
Worms.
We'll be back with with cat redemption in the third act.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
You know, we have not said what we usually say at least once in an hour on here is that Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink.
That's true. Yeah. We forgot.
Yeah, in case anyone's having any doubts of where we stand. So we're going to go back to talking about cats now that we've we have denigrated the most powerful man in the world. So it's apparently it's National Cat Day, but we're not allowed to talk about it in specifics. And we have to make it clear that we don't endorse them and they don't endorse us. And what did you say, Davi, about liking that site?
This is like an anomaly of the internet. I've never seen anything this strange on the internet because I agree with everything that they're saying and I hate the way that they're saying it.
It's
like, I also think that people should adopt cats and not buy cats. I also think that, you know, cats are great companions and people should cherish them and love them and pet them and whatever.
Give them
a deep tissue massage or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, even like the phrasing on this website is like, it just like, ugh.
Yeah. It sounds like it's written by people who want to give legal rights, like human rights to animals, which is a kind of scary thing.
Yeah, it does read that way.
It's a scary thing that a lot of places and people are moving toward, and it makes sense to 5-year-olds and people who have the emotional and intellectual capacity of, you know, 5 or 8-year-olds, but it leads to some really horrible things. There's one state. I forget where it is. It's around, it's not Wisconsin. It's either, oh, it's, I think it's Indiana. In Indiana, they've enacted a law that animals have basically almost human rights. And one of the problems of that, if you're an animal lover, if you have a cat or a dog, is if you take your animal to the vet and he's, you know, really old and he's sick, and the vet's like, yeah, you could keep him alive for a while, but you know, he's not happy. He's in pain. He's going to get worse. And you're like, well, what's wrong with him? And the vet says, well, we could do a bunch of tests. Basically in that state, to have a vet put your animal down legally, you have to do like $5,000 worth of tests first, like exhaust every possibility, like take him to Dr. House MD kind of thing, you know, which, wow. You know,
didn't realize that.
Yeah. And you know, I'm not saying death panels for cats, kill them all. I'm saying, like, you know, sometimes, you know, a cat or a dog is really in bad health. The vet can tell you that. And, you know, if it's an old animal, they're not going to have a good life anyway. And, yeah. Like
have you guys come across cat circling?
What is that?
It's sort of like the new planking or owling or whatever. Supposedly, if you make a circle of tape on the ground, cats are drawn to it.
I've seen pictures of that.
Yeah, so yes. There's all these pictures on the internet. People's cats sitting in circles of duct tape. Allegedly, my cat didn't fall for it.
Yeah.
Your cat's too anarchy for that.
Anarchy. Yeah.
Anarchy.
So, yeah,
he's Anarchat. That's his superhero name.
So the thing that you mentioned of, you know, there's a website that you agree with everything on it, but you don't like the site because, first of all, it's got a bunch of rules. Like, talk about shooting yourself in the foot as far as getting people to promote this thing. Like, no blogger, you know, if they didn't have all those rules, a bunch of bloggers would be like cat bloggers and just bloggers would be like, yeah, man, it's cat day and link it. But, you know, if you're putting if by sharing something with your friends, you're opening yourself up to legal, you know, problems and you need written permission, it's not going to happen. You know, the things that spread are the things that don't have legislation involved in them. And the things that die are the things that do. That's just
National Herding Cat Day, man.
Yeah, it's Herding Cat Owner Day, sounds like. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, you know, there's a lot of things that people believe in that are good, but they have such bad methods of trying to implement them, like using politics and laws and shaming. You know, like, I'm for equal rights for women, for men. I'm for equal pay, for equal jobs. I'm for, you know, not bullying. Those are a few I can think of right now, but, like, you know, anti-bullying campaigns feel like bullying. You know, you
guys, they are bullying.
They are. They totally are.
Yeah. Just be nice to your friends and your neighbors and your family, and be nice to everybody until they give you a reason to be otherwise. That's what I say.
Be nice to your cat.
Oh, yeah. Always be.
Especially your cat.
Yep.
Even especially on the only day of the year that isn't National Cat Day.
But be nice to them even today. Be nice to them. Be nice to cats even if they're not nice to you. Because sometimes there's a saying in French, every cat gets 15 minutes of craziness a day. That's an actual saying, and they use it on people. Like, when someone's acting out, they're like, oh, cats get their 15 minutes of craziness a day. But yeah, man, cats won't do what you tell them to. They're cats.
Worms.
Thanks, worms. Dobby Barker. Thanks, MK Lords. Worms.
Thanks.
Worms.
Meow.
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 Meow. Meow.